We say good morning and happy Lord's Day, brethren. And I'd like to appreciate your long-suffering bearing with my Nigerian accent. I want to assure you that I will continue to be very slow and distinct so that you can hear me clearly. It is not how much we cover really that matters, but how much we are able to communicate with ourselves. Yeah, because of my having to go slowly, we've had to alter the topics we intended to cover in this series. And you can bear me out that we are eager to make sure that the points we are trying to get across, we accomplish that. Now we have come to the second character we have planned to discuss, and that is the man Moses. As we did with Abraham, the father of faith, going through what his faith did, and which have given us wonderful lessons to challenge ourselves whether we really have this kind of faith that Abraham had. The same thing we will do with the man Moses. And Moses comes to us, the lesson of Moses comes to us in form of a textual study of the book of Acts chapter 7. Please, let us turn to Acts chapter 7. It's a long reading. This is the sermon of Stephen. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, the person that was killed for preaching the truth as he stood before Jewish audience in Jerusalem. We are not going to be able to read from verse 1 to the end, but we just want to zero in on those passages that have to do with the man Moses, essentially. And this is verse 17. We read Acts chapter 17, Acts 7 from verse 17 down through to verse 37. I read from here. But as the time of the promise was approaching, which God had assured to Abraham, that people increased and multiplied in Egypt, until there arose another king over Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. It was he who took shrewd advantage of our race and mistreated our fathers so that they will expose their infants and they will not survive. And it was at this time that Moses was born, and he was lovely in the sight of God, and he was nurtured 3 months in his father's house. 21. And after he had been set outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and nurtured him as her own son. Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. But when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. And when he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance for the oppressed by striking down the Egyptian. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. On the following day, he appeared to them as they were fighting together, and he tried to reconcile them in peace, saying, "Men, you are brethren. Why do you injure one another?" But the one who was injuring his neighbor pushed him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? You do not mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday, do you?" At this remark, Moses fled and became an alien in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, in the flame of a burning thorn bush. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And as he approached to look more closely, there came the voice of the Lord, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." Moses shook with fear and would not venture to look. But the Lord said to him, "Take off the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their groanings, and I have come down to rescue them. Come now, and I will send you to Egypt." This Moses, whom they disowned, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" is the one whom God sent to be both a ruler and a deliverer with the help of the angel who appeared to him in the thorn bush. Of course, it goes on, but let's stop there. Our intention here is to look at this sermon of Stephen as it concerned Moses and draw out lessons that will benefit our lives. Beginning with verse 17, "But as the time of the promise was approaching, which God had assured to Abraham, that people increased and multiplied in Egypt." The time. What time? Of course, students of the Bible can recollect way back in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13, God made a promise to Abraham concerning his descendants going into a strange land, and that these people will mistreat them, enslave them for 400 years. And after this, they will be released by his own powerful hand. This is the promise that Stephen was referring to. What lesson does this bring to us? Genesis 15 verse 13, God mentions specifically, "Abraham, this is the land I give you, but your descendants will go to a foreign land where they'll be mistreated and enslaved for 400 years. It is after that I will deliver them with my powerful hand." And Stephen helps us to understand the time God had schemed in his own mind when it was approaching. 400 years promise. What does this bring to us? 400 years is much more than average person's lifespan. Why did it take God 400 years to accomplish this? There is nobody that is a counselor to God. God is the one who sees the end of a way right from the beginning. He had his own scheme in his mind. People who have read the promise of God in Genesis chapter 15, we'll be wondering, what kind of promise is this? Has God forgotten? More so when the children of Israel were in Egypt. And they were more or less, they were reduced more or less to slaves. It took 400 years. The lesson we learn here, first of all, is that God does not forget his promise. God does not find himself incapable of accomplishing his own will. Like Peter told us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. I still have a mixture of King James English in my mind, even though I'm reading New American Standard, because I've used King James for a long, long time. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward you, so that nobody, no one will perish, but that everyone will come to repentance. That language there, God is not slack concerning his promise, shows God does not forget whatever he promises. God does not find himself incapable or incapacitated from accomplishing his will. And he has his own time. Nobody, nothing can stampede God into taking action when he asks where he's going and what he wants to do at his own time. This is a lesson to me, and I believe to you. God, in his own scheme, knows that he was going to rescue the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. What about you? You are going through situations in life. Do you know where God is taking you? Do you know the plan of God over the situation that is confronting you? The Egyptian bondage was to take 400 years. And when the time was approaching, that God had schemed in his own mind, the man Moses was born. This teaches us to be patient, to develop spirit of endurance. Just as the children of Israel were about to cross the Red Sea and they were afraid, God told them, be settled and see the powerful hand of God. So I need this lesson, and I believe you, my brothers, you need this lesson. When God's own time to deliver Israel was approaching, Moses was born. As we see again in verse 20, it was at this time that Moses was born, and he was lovely in the sight of God, and he was nurtured 3 months in his father's house. What does this mean? According to Hebrews 11 and verse 23, this loveliness, how do we explain it? Hebrews 11:23 tells us Moses was born with exceptional handsomeness. The language of the Bible is, was very beautiful. Exodus chapter 2 says the same thing. Moses came into this world with exceptional handsomeness. The first time we read something akin to this was in Genesis chapter 4, after Cain killed Abel. God put a mark on came that nobody should kill him. What that mark was, we do not know. I do not know. But it was a mark visible. It was a mark readable. It was a mark that would prevent people from killing Cain. This another case. God brought Moses into this world with exceptional handsomeness. What was God going to do with this? Is God a man that will come around and marry Moses? Or a woman? To make God create him with exceptional handsomeness. God has a purpose. And that was a sign. Before coming to Moses, by way of illustration, just turn back a little bit to verse 9. To show again that God has his own scheme. Verse 9 of Acts chapter 7. The patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt. Yet God was with him and rescued him from all his afflictions and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his household. God had a plan for Joseph. He gave him exceptional wisdom. And with this, he found favor everywhere. Just look at the entire gamut of Joseph's life. You see the hand of God. God showed him, or made him to have a dream showing where he was taking him to. A great man, governor, second in command in the land of Egypt. He relayed this dream to his brethren and to his father, and they were all wondering, does that mean we will all be subservient to you? And his brethren, a whole lot of them, sold him into slavery. But did that prevent God from accomplishing his purpose in Joseph? No. God knew where he was taking Joseph to. Another person that we can use to illustrate this is the man Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, what did God say about the man Jeremiah? Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Here we read. I take it from verse 4, please. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. This is God's statement to Jeremiah. To show us that God has a purpose for everybody. Just as he had a purpose for Jeremiah to make him a prophet, just so he had a plan for Joseph. And the same thing applies to Moses. God knew the characters, the people that will be used in accomplishing his purpose. So Moses came into this world with exceptional handsomeness. At a time that he was born, the king of Pharaoh at this time wanted to play a fast one, to what we call in what politicians would call political correctness. If fly? What if the children of Israel continues this way in multiplying and there arose a war? He felt the children of Israel would be on the side of their enemies and bring the kingdom or the empire of Egypt to naught. And so therefore, let us devise a plan to downsize them, to make them to checkmate the way they were increasing. And what was this? Every male child born to any Hebrew should be killed. This was the time Moses was born. God knew where he was going. God knew what he wanted to do. So when Moses came into this world, the parents found it difficult to snuff life out of him. They hid him 3 months in the house. When they could no longer continue hiding Moses, they took him out to the riverside. Because if they were found to be keeping their male child, the Almighty Pharaoh had severe punishment, if not death, for them. But after 3 months, they brought him out to the riverside. And there, as Moses' little child was screaming, crying, that attracted the attention of Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter, whose father issued the decree that no Hebrew male child should live, when she saw Moses, it's a very handsome child. This one should not die. Who do you think is working in all this? God Almighty. And at his own providence, that is God's own providence, Miriam, the sister of Moses, rushed out. Can I help you, Ma, by looking for an Hebrew woman who will help you take care of this boy? Miriam brought the very mother of Moses to Pharaoh's daughter. And Moses, as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, was raised at the expense of the state while in the mother's custody. Look at the hand of God. Look at God's providence. The deliverer, or the person who was going to be the deliverer of the children of Israel, was raised at the expense of Egyptian royalty in the laps of his mother. This is God's own doing. This is God's scheme unfolding before our eyes. Again, what lesson do we learn from this? We are in various situations. We are involved with questions of life. Why me? Why me? Why is this? Don't let us forget that the hand that created the world is the one still ruling the world. The deliverer of the children of Israel was raised at the expense of the state in his mother's laps. Because that's verse 20. Because Moses enjoyed royalty in the land of Egypt, verse 22 says, and Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds.
Look at where God is going in the life of Moses. When we read of Moses being educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, what does that mean? Back home in Nigeria, I know people who have come to your Harvard University, Princeton here, Yale here in America. They come out in Nigeria to beat their chest. I am Harvard trained lawyer. I am a product of Yale University in America. So they do in Nigeria. And before now, you, I mean, not, maybe not all of us, we know what Oxford, Cambridge universities in Britain, what they stand for. That's the best. Those are the best universities in the world at a time. And we have people, professors, when they speak English, they say, yes, I'm from Oxford. I remember the person who led the breaking up of Nigeria in 1967 was a soldier. And what he did to win the hearts of many Igbos was that he was an Oxford graduate. He knows what he's doing. All these Hausas, semi-illiterates, how can they sit over me ruling? The point we are making. Bible tells us Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians. If you understand what Yale, Princeton, Harvard is in America, you know what Oxford and Cambridge are in UK. Then you know we need to understand what this learning of Moses in Egypt meant at that time. Egypt of today is a shadow of its former self. Egypt of the Bible times was an empire. In Africa, we say that is the seat of civilization. Al-Azhar in Egypt, they told us, was the first university in the world. Now, if Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, what does that mean? That should conjure to our minds somebody who had the best of education the world of his time could offer at a time when his siblings, his fathers, his progenitors were serving as slaves in the land of Egypt. He had the best of Egyptian education. So we need to keep this in our minds, so that by the time we come to verse 23, we know what we are talking about. But when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. What did he say? He left the royal palace to visit his people, serving as slaves. And what did he see? He saw one of his own, an Hebrew with an Egyptian, locking us together. Without asking any question, Moses struck down the Egyptian and killed him. 2 points here. What reason did Moses give for taking this action, striking down the Egyptian? What was running in his mind? We do not know. But the Bible tells us something about this. And that's what you find in verse 25. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. Evidently, Moses knew of the promise of God to Abraham that we have read in Genesis chapter 15. Now, with all the exposure that Moses has had in the palace of the king, with all the education he had acquired, if God was going to accomplish his purpose in delivering his people, who else was God going to use? As far as Moses was concerned, no other person other than him. Is he one of the people serving under bondage that God will raise? He was the only one. He comes. And that was why he killed the Egyptian, thinking that the time has come. Before we appreciate this, we are running under. Is it not time?
We've got about 15 more minutes.
15 more minutes. Okay. Thank you. We do not want to run foul of the arrangement we have made. Do we remember the entire lifespan of Moses? Do we remember? 120 years. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 2. And this entire 120 years could be divided equally into three parts. 120 divided by 3 gives us 40. When did Moses come out to visit his brethren? Age 40. And that's what we are reading here. When he was approaching the age of 40. 40 years in the royal palace. He came out. Then, verse 30. After 40 years had passed, for another 40 years in the land of Midian as a shepherd. Then the last 40 was as a leader of Egypt. 40. 40 years in the royal palace, 40 years in the land of Midian as a shepherd, 40 years to lead Israel. Brethren, what are we bringing out? If God had used Moses at age 40, coming out fresh from the royal palace, what do you think Moses could have been thinking? As we have suggested, who else could God have used for the deliverance of Israel? Was God going to leave this highly educated man and pick one of those who are serving as slaves under taskmasters, the Egyptians? And so Moses could have been looking at himself as somebody who no one else would be like him. No one else like him. No one else could have been used. But he had to flee to the land of Midian. That shows something. God does not want us to think highly of ourselves. God does not want us to think that because we have attained a great high position, that's why we are what we are. If Moses had been used at age 40, right from the palace of Pharaoh, this order would have been his mind, because he supposed that he was the one, and really he was the one God was going to use, but not at this time. Moses had to taste the life of the downtrodden. In Nigeria, we have a saying, somebody fell, or somebody falling from grace to grass. That was the life of Moses. He left royalty with all the prestige, with all the honor, and went down to live the life of a shepherd, smelling like the sheep that he was tending. And that continued for another 40 years of his life. Is that not amazing? Now, before we gloss over that passage, one other thing. Let's turn, please, to Exodus chapter 2 and see the background of what we are reading in Acts chapter 7. Exodus chapter 2, in verse 11. Now it came to pass about in those days when Moses had grown up, that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors, and he saw an Egyptian beating an Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Moses killed the Egyptian because he saw nobody around. That's one mistake Moses made. That's a mistake some of us are making. As you travel, and I'm not talking of just those who are driving long distances among us. I'm not talking about them. But you know, and I know, what happens when people travel far away from their families. In Uganda, in South Africa, in Uganda in particular, that's the home of AIDS, HIV. Why is it so? Men come to the cities. In South Africa, blacks leave their villages to come and work in the cities. There they mess up themselves with women. Stay in the city 1 week, 2 weeks, sometimes 1 month. Months! They don't go back. But meanwhile, they go here and there. Why are they doing this? Nobody sees me. My wife is not here. And I cannot, in Nigerian Pidgin English, they say, body not be wood. The body is not wood. We are created with feelings. And here, man and woman relationship, they mess up. And they come back home to their wives and infect them with HIV, blowing into AIDS. Why? Nobody think nobody sees them. Nigerian politicians, when they are there, they cover themselves. Say one thing to the people, and one thing is about electricity. Every year, we read of billions being pumped into electricity. They read that to the people. This year we want electricity to work. They vote billions of dollars. Next year the same thing. And all they be telling people, our electricity has improved up to so-so megawatts every year. Now Nigerians are saying, yes, you are doing good. We don't want to hear megawatts again. Give us electricity. Don't give us megawatts. let us switch electricity and let there be light. They cover themselves. My brother, when you are in situations, you feel nobody is there, no preacher is there, no elder is there, no Christian is around there with you, what do you do? Moses thought nobody is in him. So he killed the Egyptian. What about you? What about me? It's better we learn, brethren, God is everywhere. Even if nobody sees you, God Almighty is there. He sees you. But in the case of Moses, somebody saw him. And the next day when there was another encounter, he was told, do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? We take it off from there when we come back. Thank you very much for your attention.